Whale. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and tonight they're going to be the views of Dr. Jerome Corsi, who has written a fascinating book called Minutemen. And, of course, it's the story of what's happening with the immigration issue as America is being systematically invaded and undermined, and the very fabric of our society is being destroyed. And as our boys are being sent overseas to fight for freedom in Iraq, where, of course, we've installed an Islamic socialist dictatorship. And if you read the Constitution of Iraq, you will understand that we have established an Islamic government under the control of the mullahs, and everything has to be cleared by the rulers, and you have freedom of speech, only, of course, according to law, and that law is Sharia law. While we're sending our boys overseas to fight and die, we're losing our freedom here at home. Not by accident, but by intent. Because there really are people who do not believe in America, but believe in establishing a world government, and the stepping stone along that way is to unite the North American nations, Mexico, Canada, the United States, into a one unit. It's called a North American community. But there's lots of new information coming out. Unfortunately, Dr. Jerome Corsi has actually gotten information under the Freedom of Information Act, information that people who are doing this don't want the public to know, because they don't believe that the common people are as smart as they are. They have a different vision of the world, because in my estimation, they worship a different God. And with that as a background, Dr. Corsi, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's a great honor to be back with you. Thank you.
Well, what is to tell us about some of this new information you've got on the under the FOIA Freedom of Information request?
Right. Well, Dr. Stan, we've got 1,000 pages from the Security and Prosperity Partnership Office, SPP, sampeterpaul.gov.
Now, could you explain to our listeners what that is?
Yes, in March 23rd, 2005, when President Bush met in Waco, Texas, with Vincente Fox and Canada's Prime Minister, then Paul Martin, at the end of that summit meeting, President Bush came out and they declared, the three leaders, that we were suddenly in the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. Now, this was a declaration of a new status between three countries, even though it was not a law, it was not a treaty. And then SPP.gov, Security and Prosperity Partnership.gov, it's a government website on the Department of Commerce website, was created that suddenly had a whole organizational structure created, a shadow government, where our bureaucrats in virtually every department you can imagine, Dr. Stan, Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, Homeland Security, Department of State, are meeting with their counterparts in Mexico and Canada, and they are rewriting our administrative laws and our regulations across the board, everything from e-commerce through steel policy, textiles, energy, you name it. And that's a shadow government that we've gone and gotten a Freedom of Information Act request against in order to get these documents in front of the American people and keep them not secret, but in front of the American people.
But, of course, the thing is that even our elected representatives, at least most of them, either do not know what's going on or won't admit they know what's going on. And I think it's really so important that Dr. Corsi's been there in Washington, D.C., talking to senators and members of the House of Representatives, and, oh, they say this couldn't be going on, because if this was going on, I would certainly know. Well, some of them will talk to Dr. Corsi in just a few minutes about that, after he's told us what he's found in these papers that they got on SPP. Why don't you pick up the story?
Well, Dr. Stan, we got these 1,000 pages of documents on SPP.gov, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, SPP.gov, in the Department of Commerce. And we've archived these pages on MinutemanProject.com. So your listeners can go there. The documents are free. They can be looked at. They can be downloaded. And what these documents show is that a shadow government has already been created. Take a look at the membership list. It lists the names, the emails, the phone numbers, the addresses, the departments of our bureaucrats who are meeting with their counterparts in Mexico and Canada, also listed with all their information there. And these bureaucrats are meeting in these trilateral meetings, these bureaucratic meetings of these shadow departments, a shadow department of transportation, a shadow department of energy, and they're rewriting our administrative law, Dr. Stan, so it's no longer U.S. energy policy, it's now North American energy policy. And SPP.gov, in answering the Freedom of Information Act request, did not give us the memorandum of understanding, all of the mutual agreements that are referred to in these documents. They let us see the procedural documents, but they kept from us the substantive documents that show how our laws are being changed.
I think that's so interesting. It's quite obvious that you know, they really don't want you to find out, and so they'll give you enough and they'll bury you with all this material. But the pertinent material, the part that they want to keep secret, they're going to keep secret because they really don't believe in the law. They are a law unto themselves because they have an agenda of their own. They have a higher calling.
Well, that's right, Dr. Stan. This entire process of forming a bureaucracy that's trilateral, involving two foreign nations, Canada and Mexico, outside the U.S. bureaucracy. I mean, take a look at these emails we put up on MinutemanProject.com. From these FOIA documents. Our bureaucrats are sending the emails. One-third of the addressees are in the Mexican government, a third of the addressees are in the Canadian government, and a third are in our government. Now, again, that's outside the Constitution. It's virtually, Dr. Stan, a coup d'etat by the Bush administration, creating the shadow government, which has already put in place a trilateral government structure. That is the infrastructure needed, just like in Europe, when the European common market went to the European Union, a full regional government. We're very rapidly moving here in the United States from NAFTA, a trade agreement, to a North American Union, a full regional government.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Corsi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, as Dr. Corsi has pointed out, they're moving very, very rapidly, as they did in Europe. First of all, they lied to the people of Europe, and they said, look, all we want is free trade. That's all this is about. You know, we're not trying to take away sovereignty. And they lied to them. And we actually have talked to members of the European Parliament, like Ashley Moat, who will tell you, of course, they lied to us, you know. And even the European Parliament, as it's set up, it has no power. Everything is done by the faceless bureaucracy in Europe that is telling the countries of Europe what to do. Doesn't matter what the people want. There is an elite, has an agenda, and they're going to carry it out and deprive everyone of their freedom. And, of course, if anybody objects, why, they become lawbreakers. And that's exactly what's happening here. It's happening, of course, in South America. Under Hugo Chavez's direction, it's happening in Asia. Whereas China's organizing the ASEAN nations, they're doing the same thing in Africa, where 25 African nations are coming together. And the plan is, the master plan is, when you have all of these independent units, independent governmental units in power, then, of course, they will unite them all into the world government. That is, there's a plan, it's being carried out. But we can't let the American people know. Well, fortunately, Dr. Corsi's got a lot of great information. So as you go through all of this, you realize, of course, he's established a shadow government. They're deceiving the American people. And they're saying one thing with their lips as they're doing other things, different things with their hands. Where do we go from here?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's the exact same process. Just like in Europe, there's now some 3,000 working groups who are running the European Union. Even the European Parliament can't find out who are the people on these working groups. So if you take a look at these documents that we've gotten in the FOIA request on MinutemanProject.com, you'll see we've already gotten something like 20 working groups established with Mexico and Canada, where the bureaucracy is meeting in the shadow government. And and they're rewriting our e-commerce policy, our energy policy, our textile policy, our trade policy. SPP.gov is preparing to declare in 2007 a trusted trader, a trusted traveler program. So in Mexico or Canada, you'll be issued a, go to the SPP.gov office in Mexico or Canada, you get a biometrics card, and with this you'll be able to cross the border just like running that card, like it were a credit card, going to a grocery store through a grocery store checkout with a credit card. So these people will come into the United States, and of 100 million Mexicans, which is about all there are, want to become trusted travelers when they go to the border with their biometrics card under SPP.gov, Dr. Sand, they'll no longer be illegal immigrants. They'll simply be North American citizens coming across our now erased border with Mexico, living, working, and drawing social benefits from wherever they want. Kansas City, Des Moines, Cleveland, New York, anywhere they want to live, because it's all North America. And SPP.gov has declared that they are now North American trusted travelers.
And, of course, this is the reason that the Bush administration, and before them, of course, the Clinton administration, because it's, this is a matter of bipartisan treason, before that, the first Bush administration, and even the Reagan administration, going back to the 1980s, have all refused to enforce the immigration laws. And the laws are in place. They could have stopped illegal immigration. They could have built a fence. They could have put military forces on the border. They could have stopped the catch-and-release program. They could have gone after the employers who were hiring illegally, and I'm talking about some of the biggest corporations in America, knowingly hiring immigrants, you know. And if they'd gone after them, there wouldn't be a problem.
Well, but that's exactly right. You know, Dr. Sand, when George Bush declared in Waco, Texas, on March 23, 2005, that we were now in the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, that was an agreement he made secretly with Vincente Fox and Paul Martin, the Prime Minister of Canada, that our borders were going to be erased because these secret programs, the Trusted Trader and Trusted Traveler programs, and now SBP.gov is putting in place, will mean there won't be any illegal immigrants anymore. We'll all be North Americans, just like in the European Union. Anybody can go from any country they want to any other country they want, live, work, draw benefits, etc. And Dr. Sand, it's a disgrace because Mexico is a completely drug-controlled, drug-cartel-dominated country. And terrorists had come across the border and bought their way into Mexico and come across our southern border. Jim Gilchrist and I in the book Minutemen, The Battle to Secure America's Borders, pages 162 to 165, we document that Hezbollah terrorists who are now in federal prison have done exactly that. They bought their way from Beirut, paid Mexican consular officials. They set up shop in Dearborn, Michigan, sent money back to Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon, and they're now in federal prison. George Bush knows that, and we cannot have a war on terror as long as Mexico is responsible for protecting us on our southern border from terrorists coming into North America.
And I think it should be so obvious that they have no intention, of course, of building a fence. The reason that they haven't done anything is because this has been in the plan for a long time. Why bother to guard the border? Why bother to put in a fence when there's not going to be a need for it? Because, of course, we will no longer have illegal immigrants or simply immigrants. We'll have the migrants, and they use these terms, they know exactly what they're doing. People from Mexico will become migrants. They'll be able to come here. They'll be able to get Social Security benefits. In fact, the Social Security Administration knows, you know, literally millions of illegal immigrants are here using false Social Security card numbers, and they're setting up accounts for them so they can draw their benefits from our Social Security fund when, of course, they come of age or they want to go back to Mexico. They'll be able to get it there, but they can't let the American people know. This is the thing. And I think that they're really very, very concerned at what's going on. Now, if you haven't been to the website, www.spp.gov, go there, and they've even put up answers to people like Dr. Corsi, who's trying to awaken the American people to what's going on, claiming, oh, no, we're not doing anything wrong at all. Why, this is just also, why don't you tell our listeners what that is talking about, what they're doing to try to negate, you know, what you're doing, try to neutralize your efforts.
Well, that's right, Dr. Sand. They have a myths versus facts section now. But it first admits that SPP.gov, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, declared in Waco, Texas, March 23, 2005, is not a law, it's not a treaty, it was just a press release. It's a first admission. And yet, we put together these working groups under SPP.gov and take a look at the 1,000 pages we've archived on the Freedom of Information Act request on MinutemanProject.com. You'll see these working groups are a shadow government that are rewriting our administrative laws right now. And Dr. Sand, they want to deny it. But, you know, it's kind of like when Richard Nixon said, I'm not a crook. Well, he wouldn't have had to have said that unless he had a guilty conscience that he was doing something wrong. Why otherwise even deny it?
It's not like what George Bush said, I'm against amnesty. I do not want amnesty. I just want the people who are here illegally to be able to say and become citizens. But I'm against amnesty.
Well, that's exactly right. This whole guest workers program that was in the Senate bill, the McCain-Kennedy bill, Senate 2611, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act. The Comprehensive Immigration Reform is just a code word, Dr. Stan. It means allow through a guest workers program. We're going to wave the magic wand, and now the 10 million or 30 million illegal immigrants that are here are suddenly just guest workers. Well, it doesn't work because in the end, the American middle class is going to be destroyed.
And that's exactly what they intend.
That's what they intend because the American middle class, if you couldn't hire this 21st century slave labor coming across our border with Mexico, you know, without restraint, drug dealers, criminals, murderers, MS-13, the tattooed gang, El Salvador coming across this border, unless and hired below union wages, below minimum wages, not paid benefits. It wouldn't work unless the American middle class allowed these illegal immigrants to get free medical care, their children educated in Spanish in our public schools, free social benefits, including food stamps, declaring, oh, well, the 14th Amendment, we're going to reinterpret it. All their children born in the United States are now suddenly U.S. citizens, and they get full rights. They're anchor babies. They root these families to the United States. It's a whole plan, Dr. Sand, to import a 21st century slave trade, an impoverished, uneducated class from Mexico. And the Democrats think you're going to be their next voters and their next clients, and the Republicans think you're going to be their next cheap labor. And the only party that's going to pay the tab is the American middle class, which in two generations, if it takes that long, will be destroyed.
And I think it's so hard, Dr. Corsi, for the average American to believe that our leaders would betray us. Not only the Republican leaders, but the Democrat leaders, because
bipartisan.
They're in debt with one another, but they can't let the American people look back to 2004. Do you remember the hotly contested debate between John Kerry and, of course, George Bush about this immigration policy and globalization, this plan to do away with national sovereignty and bring about this one-world government? There wasn't one mention of it. Of course there wasn't, because
there was no
they were
mention.
Both in favor of it. But they
both
can't
agreed.
Right. You know, it's really so funny, you know, when you see this, that we never talk about the important issues, and not that abortion isn't important, and not that morality isn't important, and not that certainly the breakdown of our families aren't important. But they're all being promoted by the same people, of course, who realize that if you can destroy the morality of a nation, that you can destroy the nation, you can declare a dictatorship, and that's really what they want. These people believe in a rule by an elite. And believe me, this is where we're heading, but not simply the United States. This is a worldwide movement. They're organizing Asia. They're organizing Africa. Hugo Chavez, a good friend, is organizing South America, while all the time he pretends he's our enemy. Well, let's, Dr. Corsi, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, Dr. Stanton, you're exactly right, because the problem is that the American people don't understand that our sovereignty is at stake. If we can establish first NAFTA, and then it moves to a security and prosperity partnership in North America, and it heads towards a North American Union, just the same way the Europeans were lied to. It was first a steel and coal agreement, 1959, the Treaty of Rome. Then it was that, well, we'll have a European common market. Well, then maybe we need these working groups, and they'll put together all the integrated and harmonized laws for the European countries. And now we've got a European Union with a euro as the new currency. Well, our new currency will be called the Amero, the A-M-E-R-O, the Amero, to replace the dollar. And in the process, I think constantly that the thousands of men and women who are buried in Arlington Cemetery did not, you know, bleed and die for the North American Union, but for the United States of America. And when Abraham Lincoln declared that we were a unique country because we had government of the people, by the people, and for the people, what these SPP working groups are quietly putting together in harmonizing and integrating our laws with Mexico and Canada is the beginning of government of the elite, by the elite, and for the elite.
And I think that's very well said. Well, certainly with this new material that you have, now, I understand that the Judicial Watch has got a good deal of information, too. Does the information they got, is it the same as yours, or do they have additional information?
It's very interesting, Dr. Sam, because on Judicial Watch's Freedom of Information Act request and the one I put forward, you'll see in MinutemanProject.com, the documents that we have more documents. Many are the same, but a lot are different. The Judicial Watch got fewer documents, but they got more internal documents on this North American Competitiveness Council, which is a completely extra-constitutional group of organized through the Department of Commerce of corporations in the United States, Mexico, and Canada that are meeting quarterly to advise SPP.gov of how our laws should be changed in the United States, Mexico, and Canada to improve the productivity. That's their code word of these global corporations that are on the North American Competitiveness Council. Now, I thought those documents were shocking, and I've been writing about that in Human Events Online and WorldNetDaily.com. Just Dr. Sam, like I've been writing about the secret North American Forum that George Shultz organized, this private secret meeting that was held in Banff, Alberta, Canada, at a very, you know, swanky hotel. And we got the membership list, the attendee list, and the agenda. And we had top U.S. government officials and top U.S. business officials, including Donald Rumsfeld was among the invited guests, our Secretary of Defense, many people from the Department of State, various government departments in the bureaucracy of the Bush administration, attending this meeting on government funds, paid for by the taxpayer. But yet when I called the State Department...
Hold that thought. I'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. Jerome Corsi. Well, Dr. Corsi was just talking about a secret meeting that was held in Banff, at which many representatives of our U.S. State Department and Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, and other people were had attended. And, of course, Dr. Corsi was able to get the membership list, the agenda of what was described there. And he was just saying that this is all being paid for with our tax money. But when he called the State Department to try to get more information, what did they tell you?
Well, I called Thomas Shannon. He was State Department, Dr. Stan, for, you know, the North American countries. And I said, did he attend? He said, the State Department public affairs official said, yes. Did the American taxpayers pay for it? Yes. Did he chair a panel that Robert Pastor from American University, who's really the father of the North American Union, been writing for 10 years, a decade or more, about the need to create a North American community that heads into a North American Union regional government. The State Department said, yes, he did chair that meeting. I said, well, can I see the paper Dr. Pastor gave, or can I see the content of the meeting? Said the State Department said, no, that's secret. That's still private.
It's secret, or was it private?
Well, Dr. Stan, they said, well, our government officials constantly have meetings with other government officials, and we don't have to give out all the details. I said, yes, but, you know, according to U.S. law, when they meet in conjunction with U.S. business leaders, the meeting is by U.S. law no longer secret. You've got to disclose the content. And they said, well, we just don't agree. So they just, you know, go their own way, defy U.S. law, defy the Constitution. And, you know, Dr. Stan, I've been writing increasingly that this is a coup d'etat to create a North American Union, that the Bush administration is trying to have occur by administrative action in the bureaucracy without being below the radar of public opinion, below the radar of the media, but yet fully documented in what we have published. Just take a look at those 1,000 pages we got from the Freedom of Information Act, from SPP.gov, that are on MinutemanProject.com. It's all there, and you can see it's all true.
And we recommend that you go to Dr. Corsi's material. You'll find it at Minuteman.com. You'll find his articles in Human Events. You'll find them at News with View, at World Net Daily. Certainly you can pull all of this down off of the Internet. Get it together.
That's right.
Start talking to people. And, of course, if you can go to the Council on Foreign Relations website. Remember, the Council on Foreign Relations is the secret government of America. It has been going back to 1921 when it was formed as a front group for a secret society in Great Britain, all dedicated to world government. And their website, they actually have, you can get the text of a book that came out 2 months after the March 23rd meeting in Waco, Texas, called Building a North American Community. You can pull it down free off the website. You can order the book, which I have. And, of course, they lay out the plan for this North American community. It's going to be one big, happy government. But, of course, the American people are not to know that, because so many of them are so outmoded. They honestly believe in national sovereignty. They believe in the Constitution. And they think that our government officials have sworn their allegiance to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, really mean what they say. But, of course, they don't. They are domestic enemies. They are, by the definition of the Patriot Act and the recent Military Commissions Act, they are terrorists in this country. And yet they hold some of the highest positions. And while our boys go overseas to fight for freedom, we are losing our freedom and our government, our constitutional protections here at home.
That's right, Dr. Stan. That report was co-authored, Council on Foreign Relations report. Co-head of that task force was Robert Pastor. And again, I say he's the father of the North American Union. In the Carter administration, our pastor was on the National Security Council. He worked on the Linowitz Commission. He gave away the Panama Canal to Panama. And I guess that wasn't good enough for Robert Pastor. Now he wants to give the United States of America away to the North American Union. And that Council on Foreign Relations report is fully available. Just go, as you said, to the Council on Foreign Relations website. You can pull it down. Writing these articles, the FOIA request papers are on MinutemanProject.com, and writing articles on HumanEventsOnline.com and at WorldNetDaily.com. They're all free. Just search my name, Corsi, and you can see them and read them, and they're fully documented and fully linked to government websites.
And I hope many of you want to get Dr. Corsi's excellent book, which we do carry. It's entitled Minutemen, and which he co-authored with Jim Gilchrist. And, of course, we have some four tape sets to go into this whole subject. We have an excellent new one called The North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty. People say that could never happen here. Why, if it happened, why, if the American people would rise up? Well, you haven't obviously read the new legislation, Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, of course, which certainly destroys the Posse Comitatus Act. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're talking about the information that they've gotten under the Freedom of Information Act from the Commerce Department about this whole plan for the Security and Prosperity Partnership. Now, have you had a chance to show any of this information to any of our elected representatives, and are any of them really concerned?
Well, Dr. Stan, we have. You know, I've gone to Washington, various congressmen and senators' offices, and it's shocking, because at first they say, oh, we don't know anything about this, or it's all, you know, just fine, we wouldn't do anything that is not within the Constitution. But I sit the senators, the congressmen, and their staff down in front of their own computers, and I show them these government websites, and they themselves are shocked. They've never seen these websites, and they, you know, they don't know the details of what's going on. It's like this NAFTA superhighway, you know, the Trans-Texas Corridor that is going to be built. Just go to KeepTexasMoving.com, and you'll see the 4 football fields wide highway Governor Perry in Texas is planning to build all the way from Laredo, Texas, up bypassing Austin, up bypassing Dallas, right to the border below Oklahoma City. And it's going to open up a route in North America so that the Red Chinese can bring their container ships from Communist China, you know, it's 12,500 containers per ship, slave-made goods or near-slave-made goods, and bring them up with Mexican trucks and Mexican trains, cross the border with Laredo, so they're headed to Walmart. The Walmart millionaires and billionaires can make another million and billion, while the middle class of the United States loses all of our manufacturing jobs. And people don't believe Dr. Sanders' highway is going to be built, but yet they're going to start getting eminent domain notices in 2007 in Texas.
And I think what's so interesting is the fact that this is a major issue in the, you know, in the election, gubernatorial election in Texas, where Governor Perry is up for re-election, and totally blacked out across the rest of the country.
That's right, and even in Texas, Dr. Sand, Governor Perry, there's 4 people running in that election. And Governor Perry is going to win with about a 35% plurality when the majority of people in Texas are voting against him and opposing the Trans-Texas Corridor. But because the race is divided among 4 candidates, Governor Perry is going to slip by and be able to do this plan. And the Trans-Texas Corridor, TTC 35, go to KeepTexasMoving.com. You'll see all the details. Going to be paid for and owned. The tolls are going to be owned by a Spanish company called Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A.
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, before we go on, I just want to mention how you can get Dr. Jerome Corsi's material. Now, we do carry his book, Minuteman, and of course, we have 4 tape sets, and we have an excellent new 4 tape set entitled The North American Community, The Demise of National Sovereignty, with interviews with Dr. Corsi. But how can people get to your website and your material? Would you mind giving that one more time?
Well, certainly, Dr. Stan. If you go to MinutemanProject.com, you can see all of the 1,000 pages we got from SPP.gov, SamPeterPeter.gov, MinutemanProject.com. They're all free. You can download them. You can look at them. You can print them out. I've also written extensive articles. Just search my name, C-O-R-S-I, Corsi, on Human Events Online, humanevents.com, and on worldnetdaily.com. All those articles are free. And you can read in detail. I've linked every one of those articles to extensive government documents, which validate everything we're saying tonight, Dr. Sand, about the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, about the North American Union, about Robert Pastor, the father of the North American Union, and about the NAFTA superhighways. All my articles are fully documented.
And I think it's so vitally important that people understand what this is all about and then understand there is a master plan that is being pushed by very, very wealthy people in the United States to bring the whole world under one control and then eventually, of course, to destroy freedoms throughout the world and bring everything under the control of a ruling elite. If you haven't read my August and September newsletters, they are available at RadioLiberty.com. That's the Radio Liberty August and September newsletters. Talk about the internationalist dream, but how do we then apply it to what's going on? Well, that's what Dr. Corsi has done such an excellent job on. He's actually given you the material that you can show to others, and you can take them to the website for the NAFTA Superhighway. The fact that the SPP.gov website, where they're, of course, going to say one thing, but they cannot tell you the truth. After all, the American people would be infuriated to realize that there are people working for our government who don't believe in the sovereignty of our nation, who are dedicated to the destruction of that sovereignty and raising the standards, the living standards of the American people, to that of the Mexican peasant. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, if you'd like to talk to Dr. Corsi, if you have any question for him. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This should have been the major issue of this election. And isn't it interesting that none of the major medium already, of course, brought this issue out? And thank goodness for the Internet. Thank goodness for talk radio, where Dr. Corsi can get the information out to a growing number of people who realize that if we do not act and act quickly, then the freedoms we have enjoyed here in America will soon become simply a remembrance of things past. Well, Dr. Corsi, once you do show the information to the elected representatives, the senators, and the members of the House of Representatives, are they willing to do something? I understand that, you know, there's certainly people, I know there's at least four of our congressmen who had introduced legislation to block this NAFTA highway and to block this whole process. Are they getting any support from the congressmen, or are they just too afraid to take a stand?
Well, I think, Dr. Sam, we've got this House resolution, which is 487, House Concurrent Resolution 487, to block the NAFTA superhighways and to block the North American Union. It was introduced by four congressmen, Virgil Good of Virginia, Tom Tancredo of Colorado, Ron Paul of Texas, and Walter Jones of North Carolina. And this is a new threshold, Dr. Sam, because now we've entered the issue into debate. It's going to have to be debated in the House of Representatives. And we're going to press this in the 110th Congress. Because remember, we've got a tremendous amount to fight here. Just take a look at Texas with this Trans-Texas Corridor. Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, this investment consortium from Spain, which is going to own the Trans-Texas Corridor for its tolls for 50 or 100 years. I mean, they and Zachary Construction of Houston, which is going to build the road, they've paid the politicians. You know, Governor Perry's gotten tremendous campaign contributions from these entities. So the politicians are already paid. And it's going to take courageous congressmen like these four I've mentioned. You know, Virgil Good, Tom Tancredo, Ron Paul, and Walter Jones to press the issue. And the 110th Congress, which is going to form in January, you know, I'm working right now, Dr. Stan, with Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus and with Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum. And we're going to train the Eagle Forum top leaders. We're going to knock on every congressional and Senate door in the 110th Congress. We're going to demand that they take a look at SPP.gov and do something about it. We're not going to rest until this issue is brought fully to the Congress and until investigations are held, congressional hearings by both houses in the 110th Congress.
All right, well, we've got Jeannie calling about Mr. Robert Pastor. Hi, Jeannie. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was very curious about Robert Pastor. Do you know his background at all? Does he have family in Nicaragua or Central America?
I don't know about his family. I know that he himself has been very close to Jorge Castaneda, who is in Mexico. He's been the candidate for the Mexican Communist Party going back about 30 years. And Robert Pastor and Castaneda share houses. They exchange houses. One lives in the United States, one lives in Mexico. They co-authored a book together. And Robert Pastor has quite close ties to Mexico, which motivates his drive to want to create a North American Union, blending the three countries together.
And, of course, this is really people have a misconception of what communism is. Communism has nothing to do with redistributing the wealth. It's really about of taking the wealth away from the middle class and creating a new ruling elite. This is what, stripped of all of its idealism, this is why so many of the very wealthy people in America here not only support communism but have financed it since its inception, why the Ford Foundation has been funding the illegal immigrant movement going back to 1968 or so, funding organizations like La Raza, that means the race. They're funding racist organizations, but don't feel bad. They're also being funded by our own government, which is giving money to La Raza and many of the similar groups like Maldave LULAC and Mecha. All of these racist organizations made up of people who want to violate our laws, being funded by the Ford Foundation, yes, and by the other great tax-exempt foundations, too. People of great wealth who have a different vision of the world.
William Hawkins wrote a book called Importing Revolution.
Excellent book.
In which he documented exactly what you're saying, that these foundations, like the Ford Foundation, have been supporting La Raza and the radical leftist agenda to create really a revolution within the United States, a socialist revolution in the United States. And you're right, Dr. Stan, the only people who benefit from that are again the elite who keep all the money. They create a proletariat, another impoverished 21st century slave trade that we allow to come across from Mexico. These people think they're going to get benefits here, but the fact is the only people who really make any money are the elite, like Robert Pastor. I assure you, Robert Pastor, living a great life at American University on his tenured salary is not hurting. Well, he himself is encouraging all these impoverished masses.
Well, he has an interesting past because he was the national security advisor to Jimmy Carter.
That's correct.
And when he went on a goodwill tour with Mrs. Carter, he is the one that really went after President Somoza of Nicaragua.
That's correct.
Because the whole idea was to topple Somoza and bring the communists to power. And then, of course,
we could, Danny Ortega.
And we could finance the communists, we could finance the anti-communists. And
now he's up in Mexico.
And that goes back to his original work. Robert Pastor started his career working for the Institute for Policy Services. And he was writing leftist, and that, by the way, is a communist front organization established by Cora Weiss in the 50s, who was a leading U.S. communist. She helped establish the Institute for Policy Studies. That's where Robert Pastor began, writing leftist documents supporting people like Daniel Ortega, promoting socialist revolutions in Latin and South America.
And anybody who really, of course, would like to know what communism is all about, we suggest reading David Rockefeller's memoirs, which is available from Radio Liberty. And David Rockefeller will tell you that his daughter is such a good friend of Fidel Castro. And in fact, he and Fidel have had at least one private personal meeting. But why would the daughter of certainly of the world's leading capitalist be meeting that wicked Fidel Castro, who's such a good friend of Daniel Ortega? Hey, anything else, Jeannie, wanted to say?
No, but this gentleman that's on tonight, he's one of my heroes. He speaks out. He's very educated, researches, and I wish we had more men in America like him.
I wish we did, too. He's doing a great job. And thanks so much for your call, Jeannie. Okay, fine. Let's go to Jack. Do you have a question for our guest, Jack?
I'd like to ask Jerry if he's aware of the fact that a number of municipalities have passed their own local laws banning the Patriot Acts. That's the first question. Secondly, since we're dealing with municipal corporations and they're under commercial trust law, they must abide by the commercial trust principles of full disclosure, good faith, valuable consideration. So when somebody ignorantly records the property deed and conveys.
Okay, let's answer Jack's first question. He was asking about the fact that many of our communities are trying to prevent the implementation of the Patriot Act, but I don't think that the local community in any way can override federal law. Do you?
We're having some brave communities like Hazleton, Pennsylvania, that is doing everything it can to resist the the invasion of illegal immigrants coming into the United States to not have to be forced to give benefits, social benefits, which the illegal immigrants are really not entitled to, and to withhold and stop the federal government under the Bush administration, which is trying to strong arm the states and the municipalities to accept all these illegal immigrants and to pay for them. So, you know, there is a revolution beginning, starting within the middle class. It's opposing, you know, this whole issue of illegal immigration. But where the problem, Dr. Stan, is right at the core of the Bush administration. Because starting with this SPP.gov, starting with the whole idea that creates the North American Union, the Bush administration's on a plan, and they have been since Waco, Texas, in March 2005, to create a North American Union, which is a coup d'etat. It's to create a North American Union just like the European Union was created. As long as the Bush administration remains on that plan, till we can expose it and get it in front of the American people will not accept this. But
well,
if the Bush administration is allowed to go its way, it'll happen despite the middle class and despite the municipalities.
Well, you know, it's really so interesting, Jerry, that on the very day of the 9/11 attack, immediately polls were taken. Are the American people willing to give up more of their freedom to protect us from the wicked Islamic terrorists, you know, and specifically Osama bin Laden? And the president said, I'm going to get him, meaning Osama, dead or alive. We're going to go over there to Afghanistan. We're going to attack that sovereign country to, you know, to get Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda. And then they didn't try to get them. They have steadfastly refused to try to get Osama bin Laden, not only at that time, but they had at least 11 previous opportunities, according to Richard Miniter's book, Losing Bin Laden. And Robert Schur, who was a man in charge of the bin Laden desk during the Clinton and the Bush administration, in his book, Imperial Hubris, you know, said they had at least 10 opportunities to get bin Laden. They've even gone so far as to dissolve the bin Laden desk. They're not trying to get him at all, but they use that to get through the Patriot Act and the Office of Homeland Security Act, and the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, and the State Health Powers Act. And now, of course, they passed the Military Commissions Act, which redefines terrorism, and they passed the John Warner Act, and that, of course, allows them to use American troops on American citizens without the consent of the governors of the individual states. They've given $385 million to Halliburton to build detention camps, and I can assure our listeners those detention camps are not being built for the illegal immigrants. Let's go to Linda, who's calling us from Castroville. Linda, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I just first want to let you know I'm a little confused. What is the name of the country that's involved with building the Texas Corridor?
Okay, the Texas Trans-Texas Corridor, TTC. Look at keeptexasmoving.com. The company is called Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A. They're a Spanish investment consortium with ties to King Juan Carlos and his family. They're going to put in, ultimately, almost $200
billion. $200
billion. To build 4,000 miles of this Trans-Texas Corridor all through Texas. You can see my articles on human events. .com, which document all this, or worldnetdaily.com.
And why Spain, Dr. Corsi?
Because they have an investment consortium. There's several international ones in Australia and others in Spain. They're buying up what should be, you know, state public goods around the world. Highways are one of their main goals. To buy highways in the United States and to own them by foreign entities.
And, of course, they're toll roads.
They're toll roads, and the tolls then will go to Cintra in Spain for 50 or 99 years, depending on the lease.
And, of course, they're going to be taking property from private citizens under, under eminent domain, and then turning it over to this private foreign corporation.
Right.
Doesn't that make you feel good?
Under the Kelo decision, K-E-L-O, Kelo, you know, versus... It was Kelo decision in the Supreme Court. If they are able to take, through eminent domain, private property and seize it, even though the interest goes to a private corporation in another country.
So, Linda, this is what we're really up against, and you've got to help us get the word out.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you, Dr. Corsi.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. Okay, that was Linda calling from Castroville. We have probably time for one more call. If you want to call us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here in the Central Coast of California. Well, Dr. Corsi, you know, I just hope and pray that we can get more and more of our senators to be concerned and more of our members of House of Representatives. And I really think, you know, that if the people let them know how concerned they are, have they been flooded with emails and letters and faxes and other information, you know, so the our duly elected representatives realize that we know what they're doing and we will hold them responsible? If this thing continues?
They have been, Dr. Sand, but I think it's going to increase in the 110th Congress as we continue to get the word out. And people have got to be not discouraged when congressmen and senators send back emails that say, you know, be happy, don't worry, this is not a problem, it's just an internet conspiracy. And my answer is, if it's an internet conspiracy is being conducted on government websites, and the people are concerned, and if there's nothing going on, let's hold congressional hearings.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, I didn't want to interrupt you there, but the computer was going to interrupt you, so I'd give you a little warning. Go right ahead. You were just saying that you're calling for congressional and Senate hearings on this subject?
That's right. If the senators and congressmen say SPP.gov is not a move, the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, to create a North American Union, if there's not a shadow government, this is all just a so-called conspiracy theory. Well, fine. The conspiracy theory is being conducted on government websites, just as happened in Europe, when people were being lied to as the European common market went to the European Union, to the Euro. So if government officials, our senators and congressmen are worried, let's hold hearings. Let's get all these documents in front of the American people. That's why I put the 1,000 documents I could get, the Freedom of Information Act request, on MinutemanProject.com. Dr. Stan, your listeners can look at them. They're free. They can download them. They're real. These are actually what's going on. Look at the list there of our bureaucrats meeting with the bureaucrats in Mexico and Canada and shadow governments already, a shadow bureaucracy changing our laws.
And how about this meeting up in Banff, Canada?
Exactly.
I do have information on that posted as well.
Yes, and that I published that on WorldNetDaily.com. Just search my name, Corsi. I started publishing that about in September, October. We have the membership list, the attendee list, the agenda, the secret meeting was attended by top U.S. government and business officials. One of the attendees scheduled was Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, and yet the meetings are not public. No press were invited. The State Department won't tell us anything about the substance, even when you called them up and asked.
And, of course, that is in violation of the law, but then these people are above the law. The laws are only for common folks like us.
It's why it's a coup d'etat, Dr. Stan. This is why the Bush administration and the bureaucracy thinks it's above the U.S. Constitution, above the law, and is proceeding to create a North American Union without disclosing it to the American people and lying to the American people about what's actively going on and available to be seen on government websites that we link to and cite in all these articles.
And the thing, Dr. Corsi is doing an amazing job of getting the information out. And ladies and gentlemen, get the information, pull it down, copy it, get it into other people's hands. You've got to get this information out. Because, of course, they did not give $385 million to Halliburton to build detention camps so that they could have them just sit there empty, and they certainly aren't going to try to repatriate the illegal aliens. So who do you think that they're for? People say we could never have a dictatorship, and I, in America, I say, why not, if God is just? Thanks very much for being with us, Jerry. Bye-bye.
I understand. Always an honor. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope that many of you out there will want to get information. We carry the book entitled A Minuteman, of course written by Dr. Corsi and by Jim Gilchrist, and goes into this whole issue, documents so much of what we're saying. We carry a new four-tape set called The North American Community. the demise of national sovereignty, which will have a great deal of the information we've talked about tonight. You can get a copy of the tape of this program if you specifically request it. Certainly we have a previous four-tape set on immigration. We have a DVD entitled The Conquest of Aztlan. And then, of course, if you order any of these things, you'd like to get copies of my August or September newsletters, why, we'd be glad to go ahead and get them for you. Send those, either one or the other, free of charge, but you pull them down at our website at RadioLiberty.com. You have to understand that behind the effort to destroy America are powerful spiritual forces that energize the entire movement. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why you need to read my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy. You can read about them up on the internet. Articles written by people who are affiliated with the occult hierarchy. They work through the Lucis Trust and the new group of world servers. In fact, that is largely the part funded by Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation. It's a Luciferian organization. Probably they don't know that. Well, anyway, I have to understand that the people who, of course, have gone over to the dark side are well rewarded for their treachery. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. America is, of course, at the core of this whole effort. On one side, our people are Christian, they're good, they're wholesome. On the other side, there are sinister people who are using the military and financial power of America to enslave the world. We hope many of you will get the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. It will give you insight into what we're talking about. My DVD or talk, The Brotherhood of Darkness, not so professionally done, but it's got all of the vital information, or you can certainly get the book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then, of course, the other material we carry, like The Hope of the Wicked by our good friend Ted Flynn, going into the background of how this whole movement ties together. If you have not yet read the book Hostage to the Devil, written by Malachi Martin, we carry that, and you can get it by itself, or certainly you can get it in conjunction with a four-tape set by Malachi Martin. At least on one of the tapes, he talks about Satanism in the Catholic Church. He was a Jesuit priest. And about the satanic ceremony that is held in the basement of the Vatican. And although he writes in his book, Windswept House, as a matter of fiction, he told me off the air, yes, this really did happen. There really was a satanic ceremony in the basement of the Vatican that corresponded with a human sacrifice held elsewhere in the world. You see, there really are people who have a different worldview. And then, of course, we hope you'll get our four-tape set of the Bohemian Grove. And then if you get that, and if you want the pages from the Bohemian Grove's own publication where they talk about worshiping the owl. Worshiping the owl. Why, we will provide that for you without charge. And then, of course, you need to get our four-tape set on Skull and Bones, both the president and the man who ran against him in 2004, John Kerry, were members of the same secret satanic conspiracy that originated back in 1832, at the time when, of course, these occult organizations were prevalent in Europe. If you've not yet seen my video entitled World Revolution, you need to get it. You need to watch it. You need to understand what's going on. That's World Revolution. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But then, of course, please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We can sure use your help. Till tomorrow. We'll be back in just a moment here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. It's going to determine what the future will bring, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when certainly we're going to ask for your calls, because our regularly scheduled guest, Bill Sardi, is not here. Our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. Well, I just wonder how many of you out there across America are really aware of what the things that are happening, the significance of the Military Commission Act. Because remember, we're hoping your call is here at 1-800-259-5791. But the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Authorization Act of 2007 were both signed into law on October the 17th. Of this year in the private Oval Office ceremony, and the Military Commission Act basically negates the right of habeas corpus for non-American citizens. At least they claim it's for non-American citizens. Supposedly American citizens still have the right of habeas corpus, but the provisions of the Act allow, of course, the Military Commission to declare anyone an enemy combatant. And even an American citizen can be considered an enemy combatant if they're critical of the government or they did anything that the Military Commission said was deleterious to our war effort as we are heroically fighting the terrorists over in the Middle East. The only trouble is the administration doesn't really believe there's a war on terrorism. If they did, they would have sealed our border long ago. They would have stopped the catch-and-release program by which people who are caught coming into our country illegally from terrorist countries, from Saudi Arabia or from Iran or from Iraq, because a certain number of the people coming across the border actually do come from terrorist countries and they're apprehended, but they're immediately released and told to come back in a month or two for a deportation hearing, and you'd never guess what happens. Most of them never come back. No, if they were really concerned about, you know, having a war on terrorism, there would be an accurate watch list at our airports, but they put people's names on that watch list, like 14 of the terrorists who died in the 9-1-1 attack. But the names of the real terrorists that they really have to be concerned about, they don't put on the watch list because they don't want them to know that they're being watched. Isn't that amazing? So, in the name of course, fighting Islamic terrorism, they've passed all sorts of legislation, including the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act of 2007, which is going, of course, to allow the federal government to use troops in America against the American people without the consent of either the local or state government. A total change in the structure of our society, and that may explain why they've given Halliburton $385 million to build detention camps in America. But right now to our good friend Bill Sardi. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good evening. What an interesting evening.
Well, it certainly is, and we'll be back with Bill here in just a moment to discuss some of the exciting things that are going on here in America as we see the election returns coming in. And then, of course, we contemplate what's happening to what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave, where people were willing to fight for freedom, who treasured freedom, who valued freedom. Well, Bill, go right ahead.
I actually wanted to turn the tables on you tonight for a minute or two because we are distracted by the elections. And so the audience can get the full blow if they're just listening for the first time. I know watching television on these kind of evenings becomes a pretty boring event, as the television stations all knew the outcome long before the reports, because they've all done these surveys, and all this is just a charade. They already knew how everybody was going to vote, unless it was a very, very close race in a couple of areas. And, of course, that's what they focus on as the drama for the evening, as they try to get you to watch television. So it's a whole charade. I mean, if you wanted to see Hillary Clinton get elected, remember, it was just a favor to the Democrats. They put her in an all-Democratic, area, and, of course, she was easily elected. Didn't make any difference whether Hillary was somebody you loved or hated or whatever. It was just an all-Democratic area. It was a little gift that they did for her. So these are the kind of things that are done. The gerrymandering, of course, we see. Every time I try to get my hands around the senator that we have here, and the House of Representatives, our representative, they keep gerrymandering the districts. So I've actually moved three times, and unfortunately I moved into each one of the gerrymandered districts, so I can't get rid of this guy. But they keep actually partnering with the opposite party. So listen, I'll move my little area here and you move there, and then we get up some votes and then we both stay in power. So this is how the will of the people is thwarted, and of course we just have incumbency upon incumbency. So, but I just wanted to ask you this evening, what is your advice to Americans? Should they vote, or should they just throw up their hands and give up?
Well, I think that certainly in the local votes, I think it's important. I think in the bond issues, the bonds that here in California and across the country, I think it was very important that people vote all those bond issues down. Those issues that dealt with increasing taxes, you know, I think that, well, here in California, I certainly voted no on 87. I did vote yes on 86. Some people would object to that, but I think that tobacco is such a terrible thing that if we can discourage people from smoking by raising the taxes, we should, because I've seen so many die of the horrible consequences of that. But that's the only time I've ever voted in my entire life to raise the taxes on much of anything.
I'm against taxes for these purposes, but I would have to agree with you, because it's only
hold,
token.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill to turn the tables on me and ask me what I thought as far as what was going on, whether people should be voting. And for the national level, it really doesn't matter whether you get Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B in power. Although, with certainly individual congressmen, it can make a difference if you have a man who really has integrity and cannot be bought off by the large sums of money that are offered to him by the elite. But at the state level, I do believe that it does make a difference, and I think that what you want to do is keep people in power in the state level who will not raise your taxes and force you to lose your home and your property and ruin the economy of the state. And certainly here in California, where I live, there were a number of issues on the ballot, about $40 billion of free money. Now, what's free money? Why, that's money that you could get by selling bonds, and it's not going to raise taxes, and you don't have to pay for it. And then we can, of course, rebuild California. That's part of Arnold Schwarzenegger's socialist effort to spend us into prosperity and leave future generations to have to pay that off. There were $40 billion in tax initiatives, bond issues, which would cost about $80 billion by the time they're paid off. I hope that they all went down in flames here in California. I think it's important that people get and vote, if just to vote no on most of the things. And I voted no on all the bond issues and all of the taxing issues except Proposition 86. And certainly when it came to the Supreme Court justices here in California, both of them are corrupt Supreme Court justices. I voted no on those. So I think if nothing else, we need to send a message to the politicians. They were watching, were very unhappy, and when more and more people start voting no, 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 maybe, of course, why we can begin, of course, to raise an awareness here in America that it doesn't matter. They fix, actually, the voting machines, and many of the voting machines are fixed. The electronic voting machines stole the election in Ohio, and if you have any question on that, we've got a great DVD we'll be offering soon. Well, actually, you can talk to the people who were in Ohio in 2004. There's no question they stole the election. But then they stole the election in 2000 in Florida. They stole the election in 2004 in Ohio. And until we get back to voting by paper ballot, so there's a paper trail, why, of course, it really is going to do very little difference as far as voting for your senators or other issues. But we still should vote, and we should keep emphasizing the fact that our electoral process has been compromised by people who do not have a moral compass, who see nothing wrong with stealing elections. And they do it, both the Democrats and the Republicans. It all depends on who controls the voting machine. So go ahead, Bill.
Don't you get a sense that the Republicans knew that the Democrats had a tremendous machine at stealing votes in the past? Not that the Republicans didn't, but that this is our turn now. We found another way to do it. And I just kind of sense that, and this is the way it goes down. You know, you guys got away with yours for a long time. We're going to do ours. And so I wanted you to comment about the two-party system. We seem to have an idea that we really don't consider third-party candidates, and that's mostly because we look for a leading from the news media. And when they don't give much credibility, they don't put third-party candidates on so we can listen to them. They're marginalized, ridiculed, considered some sort of fringe party kind of thing. So all we get are these same two. But this seems that it's so easy for corruption, so easy for commerce or whatever to buy off the two sides. And so you really have this issue, and Americans are just so wedded by tradition of voting against the candidate they really hate rather than for anybody. So they're usually voting, I would hate if Hillary was in there. I'd hate if Al Gore was in there. So they vote against that guy rather than this is how we vote. We just don't want to see that other guy in there. Do you have any comment about this two-party system?
Well, I think, of course, the best comment was made by Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. And in his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, he wrote that back in 1966, and it was so accurate and so prophetic and so revealing what was going on that somebody actually came in and bought up Professor Quigley's publisher, Macmillan Company, and destroyed the place to the first half of his book. And we actually have an interview with Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, where he tells the story I've just told you. But in pages 1247 and 1248 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, he explains what this is really all about from the elitist point of view, because he was part of this elitist group that controls the nation. And what he said was, look, what we need are two political parties with very little difference between them, so that every 4 years the public can vote the scoundrels out. But nothing will change as far as foreign and domestic policy, and that's exactly what they do. It's all a game. Now, what we really need, of course, you're absolutely right, is a third party that will push for limited government. But since the media is controlled and will not allow the people to hear from the third parties, or we're told by our religious leaders and by the people we trust, oh my goodness, if you vote for a third party, you're throwing your vote away. Why, if you don't vote for the Republican, the Democrat's going to get in, and you know how terrible those Democrats are. And so as we are being betrayed by our leaders, who already are part and parcel of this whole corrupt system. What we need, of course, third parties. We have two excellent third parties, who are conservative, the Libertarian, and the Constitution Party. Knowing something about them, and knowing the leaders, at least of one of the parties personally, I suspect that they too have been infiltrated, so they would be neutralized and ineffective, and when something could really be done to impact upon what's going on. Of course, it becomes tilting at windmills. Yes, what we need are people working full-time within the political spectrum for third-party candidates, and I think we could get them elected. But you can't do it just getting started a few weeks before the election. What we need are people who really value freedom and understand that freedom is not free, and if not being fought for constantly, will soon be lost. What we need, of course, is to get back to paper ballots. What we need is a third-party candidate. What we need to do, I fear, is do away with the Republican Party. It has become the biggest spending party in all of the history of our nation. it has gotten us into this terrible war without any possible justification over in the Middle East, and the leaders of the Republican Party have gone right along with massive expansion of government power over our lives. In fact, the current president, the current Christian president, enacted legislation that Ted Kennedy had been trying to get through for years and never could, specifically the No Child Left Behind legislation and the Medicare drug bill. Those were Ted Kennedy's pieces of legislation. But should we be surprised that the Republican president got those through when in the year 2003 the Bush Foundation was on the board as George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush and Jeb Bush? They actually gave the Outstanding Man of the Year award to none other than that well-known moral individual, Senator Ted Kennedy. So, you know, the idea that we have a two-party system is so ridiculous, I'm sure they sit around and laugh at how stupid we are.
Well, I wanted to ask you, in regards to big government, because we want to ask ourselves, well, how do we keep getting big government? I mean, who's really for it? And what my research pointed out is it seemed that the big commercial interests, they want big government because big government can make rules and therefore lock in business. What I mean by that is, let's just mandate that every child in school, every female, has to have a cervical vaccine shot, and boom, we make a lot of money. Let's mandate that there's a rule that we have to have the gas tanks in California not leak and have a special kind of gas tank, and we wipe out the independent gasoline stations. So then we can have less competition for price and run this whole thing. And then, of course, we've got rules for smog, so we then do all these things and change the gasoline, and the gasoline actually costs more here, and it's an excuse because of that rule that was passed that we have to have certain additives or whatever in our gasoline. So my question is, do you think we'll ever see our way out of big government? Because it seems that the public seems to want more of this. I often hear of that scripture quoted in the Bible where the people, you know, give us a king, give us a king, you know, and then, of course, God gave them a king and he was a wicked king. So, you know, I guess the people just keep wanting more of the same to solve the very problem of big government itself. Am I wrong?
I think you really are wrong. I think the majority of the American people are conservative. I think they want to limit the power of the government. But the only way to do that is through our Constitution. Because it doesn't really matter whether you elect people to, the Congress on the right or on the left. Most of them really are not dedicated to the conservative or liberal philosophy. They're dedicated to stay in Washington, D.C. And to do that, they've got to get their money from either the political parties that they represent or from the big corporations or somebody else who has a vested interest, as you said. For ever more government control. And they're using, of course, the big government, corporations want that, to control the competition. And that's really what you see this with big oil funding the environmental movement so there would be no competition to big oil. And, of course, they funded the environmental movement to block the use of nuclear power in America, so we'd have to keep using fossil fuels. They funded the environmental movement so that you could do drilling if you were a small developer. Why? Because they have a monopoly, and, of course, nobody is to be allowed to compete with them. So, I mean, this is the big problem. But the only way, of course, to ever get back to a free society is to teach people about our wonderful Constitution. You see, most of what's going on is unconstitutional. And until, you know, the American people accuse the people in Washington, D.C. of being traitors, which they are, because they've sworn to uphold the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, public and private. And most of the members in the United States Senate and most of the people in the House of Representatives said they are enemies of our Constitution. They're acting against it, knowingly violating the very laws they've sworn to uphold. The only way, Bill, we're ever going to get our freedom back is to get American people to care about freedom and reinstall the Constitution. Okay, Bill, go right ahead.
I don't know if they're teaching the Constitution in school like we got it when we were in school, but there seems to be a disconnect. It seems like the adults now seem to have no connection at all with constitutional rights, and they're taken away. We've seen it, property rights. Recently, Supreme Court ruling that cities can take over your home for eminent domain, for not for reasons of the public good, but just to hand it over to a commercial interest who wants it, and so on. So there went one of the constitutional protections we have. They certainly threatened to take away guns many times. They certainly actually took away guns in New Orleans. The people were left helpless after the hurricane. That was unconstitutional, and no penalties on any public officials for doing that. And we see one after another. Now we have a right to search and seizure. They seem to be able to just come in at will. They can listen on the phone, or no right to privacy for almost any excuse. It could be that you're just oppose the reigning party or president, and for that opposition you'd be called a terrorist or whatever. So we seem to have this all going on, this disconnect between our constitutional liberties and protections and the public that just seems to lay over and let them happen. But I wanted to ask you about, we learn about candidates. And when, of course, we had this candidate in Florida who had to resign because he was in Congress and apparently was on the Internet attempting to set up some sort of arrangement with young boys who were pages there in Congress, and actually went out on a camping trip with some boys and so on. And so there were some rather lurid things going on, but apparently the newspapers in Florida had known about this for some time, knew about his past, but said that they refused to print any of the sexual preferences of the candidates. Now, this just didn't seem to be right. Where is the preferences and the fact that this man was a pervert and actually violating the law and many other things? And so he gets off. But why didn't they alert the voters to this? I'm angry. Do you have any comment? Do you think we'll ever really be able to find out about the candidates that we're voting on?
Well, I think the only way we have today to find out about them is through the Internet and through alternative radio, which we still have. How long we'll have it, I don't know. But, Bill, I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that the media in America is controlled by 5 megacorporations that control 90% to 95% of all of the major outlets. And if you are a reporter and you want to write the truth, you may very well be looking for a job, but there's nothing new about that. The freedom of the press is that if you own the press, you're free to suppress whatever you want to. And, of course, they want to create an issue to embarrass the Christian population. They popularize this unfortunate hypocrite named Ted Haggard. You know, but they are concealing so many of the people in Washington, D.C., who are actually homosexuals. In fact, they're homosexual prostitutes who make regular visits to the White House, and nobody has ever gone into the background of that. Certainly, John DeCamp, Attorney John DeCamp, he was a member of the literature and one of the, Indiana, one of the states in the Midwest, who wrote about the pedophile ring that extended right into the White House, where children are being kidnapped and taken to Washington, D.C. for the use of our politicians. Not a word about that. That's a book called The Franklin Cover-Up. People need to get it, need to read it, need to understand what is really going on. But this is being concealed, Bill, because behind this sexual perversion are powerful satanic forces, and they're at work in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill Sardi was simply asking me if I thought that we would ever be able to get the truth about what's going on. And I said, right now we can get the truth out. If we can get enough people listening to alternative radio, and we've got some excellent programs out there, and some of my very good friends are on the front line, and we suggest you listen to their programs, and if you ever want to know who they are, who you can really trust. Some people just love things that are spectacular and exciting, but sometimes they sort of shade the truth a little bit, because they want something that will get everybody emotionally upset. There are others who are doing a great job and providing a great deal of very reliable information, and you need to become discerning and know who you can trust. We all will make occasional mistakes. I sometimes have made mistakes and had to come on the radio and apologize for them. Fortunately, not very many of them. But there are websites out there, excellent sources of information. there are commentators out there like Paul Craig Roberts. Certainly, read Paul Craig Roberts every time. You can see his articles up there. You can go to newswithviews.com, world events, pardon me. Certainly, some of the times I don't agree with it, but most of the material is very, very good, even though recently everybody's been suggesting vote Republican, and that's no solution. Certainly, a World Affairs Brief, Joel Skousen, has excellent material. So learn who you can trust, learn who the commentators are. Sometimes there'll be people on News with Views who are very good, like Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Always reliable. There are other people up there I wouldn't trust any further than I can throw them. But you have to learn, and if you ever want to ask me about them off the air, I'll be glad to give you my opinion. Bill, we have more opportunity to get information out now than any time I know of in the past. I'm more encouraged than I've been for a long period of time because I am firmly convinced that things are going to get a lot worse. But only getting worse is there any opportunity that the American people are going to wake up and are going to be willing to take a courageous stand to try to preserve our freedom.
Well, maybe we would pray things would get worse so Americans would get riled up. I once in a while see a crack in the armor, and I can recall that a reporter, I believe is of the San Jose Mercury News, and he uncovered and cracked the door open in our federal government's complicity, along with major corporations, in actually bringing drugs into this country, drug money into this country, while we pretend that we have airplanes, we burn drugs overseas, and all this. We're in Afghanistan to make sure that the drug trade is wiped out so it won't compete with us. And, of course, many of our own soldiers have been killed by our own troops, as much of this has been discovered, because I remember one day on CNN they reported that on an Air Force base, pretty high, and he had gone into a plane that had landed, found drugs, and then was shot dead on the tarmac. And the next day, nothing. It was a report that came out like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and then it just disappeared.
Well, of course, you remember the story you're referring to, the San Jose Mercury. A reporter's name was Gary Webb. And he did a good job, and he got the information out about the CIA's involvement in selling drugs and their involvement with the Contras, and of course, using the drug money to buy weapons for the Contras. But because he exposed the CIA involvement in drug smuggling, Gary Webb recently committed suicide by shooting himself in the head 2 times to make sure he was dead.
Well, it's kind of hard to get that second shot off. You got to wonder. Well, it's a terrible story, but you do see this kind of thing go on. Well, we're 2 years away from the next presidential election, and what we usually see now, I don't think anybody can see a good candidate, a strong candidate on either side yet. And, of course, we see the Republicans posturing with a couple of people, McCain there. Of course, McCain's an old man. He's not in good health. But they like these old war veterans and the guy that has some sort of heroism kind of thing. I don't know that makes the best presidents, but nonetheless, they usually come with a candidate from the South. Democrats have done this twice. We got Carter, and then we got Clinton, and some sort of an idea, this is a nice man, he's a good man, and they'll try and show us he's very caring and this kind of thing, and then they'll start to prop up a candidate, and it should start very soon. And so we need to be alert and find out if we're going to really find out enough about the next candidate for president. I'd like to have your comment.
Well, I think already you can begin to see the establishment beginning to push the candidacy for the Republican nomination of Mayor Giuliani. And of course, I wouldn't trust Giuliani any further than I can throw him. When his wife left him, he moved in with a couple of gay guys. Giuliani is not a man of integrity. He's been created by the media. Of course, we'll have to wait and see, you know. They'll see who they can sell to the American people. We'll be right back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill Sardi was asking me about who I thought the candidate would be, and I mentioned, of course, one of the candidates that the Republicans are pushing is Mayor Giuliani. Of course, they were thinking of George Allen, Senator George Allen. If he loses here this race, he may no longer be a contender for the presidency. John McCain is a traitor to our country. You talk to the men who are prisoners of war, they will tell you he went over the North Vietnamese. I have pictures of him. I had a picture of him hugging one of the men who tortured his fellow prisoners. The prisoners of war have never forgiven John McCain, but you'll never read about that in the media. He truly is a Manchurian candidate. Well, I don't know who they're going to get, but they can make anybody very, very popular. They were able to take Jimmy Carter, one of the most inept people presidents we've ever had, and build him up and get him elected president in 1976. I think just to show that they could elect a baboon, you know, if we would vote for him willingly, if, as long as they gave us all of the reasons why he was going to be so much better than the Democrat candidate or the other one. Right now, of course, the Democrats are talking about Obama. But a lot of this is simply showbiz. I really think that the people who they're really going to run are sort of like in a horse race. They're holding them back, and then they're going to suddenly come forward as the race develops. We're just going to have to wait and see. But I will tell you that whoever is run on the Republican ticket and on the Democrat ticket will have been picked ahead of time by the ruling establishment that controls the leadership of both political parties. This is what we're really up against. And until people understand and have read my August and September newsletters that are available at RadioLiberty.com and understand that all of this is a fault of all. The president is always picked by the ruling elite, and it doesn't really matter which one of the two candidates loses, their candidate always wins. So well, I think that right now it's all showbiz, and down the line we'll find out who they really want to run.
Well, I remember Jimmy Carter got in office, you know, considered a Christian man, so on. And, of course, he gets in. This ineptness comes through. And they didn't want him in much longer, and so they really rigged the economy to go down. And then, of course, he wasn't able to get reelected. And, you know, they rigged all that. So they made it so that the economy went down. Did everybody notice that the stock market was the highest it was in 6 months? The day before and the day of the election, and that the gas prices were extremely low, and the unemployment rate was very low at 4.4. Do you believe any of this?
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was just simply saying that, you know, if the American people look and see what's happened, the stock market's been the highest it has been in a long period of time. Just the day before the election of this year, the gasoline prices were at a new all-time low. If you believe the government statistics, why, the economy is booming and employment's down. We never had it better than we're having now, and I'd like to suggest it's all showbiz. It's all showbiz as usual. And when the American people begin to realize someday, or at least those we can begin to educate, that it's all manipulated, they manipulate the price of oil, they manipulate the stock market, they manipulate the unemployment data and the manufacturing data, we got a real problem with our economy. Unemployment's probably running 8 to 9%, but they're not going to tell you the truth. And just watch and see what happens to the stock market and the price of oil after the election. So it's going to be interesting to watch the phenomenon.
Well, and the underemployment. I mean, go to Oregon. I mean, these people are working for dimes and nickels because they're employed, but they're taking jobs that are just below what their incomes used to be. So, you know, this is another challenging issue. But you know, I'm concerned because I see so many issues here as we watch television ads for these various propositions in California and how misleading they are. We better do this or, you know, we won't get that. And they're so misleading, and we're in such debt. I could almost vote for two of them just to boost the economy in California, but not when we have so much debt already. And I don't think the public understands what a bond is. A bond is, you don't raise a tax, you have some people loan some money, and we promise to pay them back, which then the state of California taxpayers are going to pay back, but it's going to probably be over a long term, and therefore the next generation pays most of it.
And the thing is that by the time you get through paying that, you pay off twice as much as you actually had borrowed. And so if you borrow $20 billion for some wonderful government project like rebuilding our roads, why, then, of course, they're going to have to pay another $20 billion in interest rates. But the thing is that there's been plenty of money within the state gasoline tax fund, and they've simply stolen it
to
use for other things.
Right.
They do not need additional taxes. They need to cut back on useless spending and all the benefits for so many of the people who work in government and for the bureaucracy and for their friends.
Well, we see these cigarette taxes, and really... The smokers need as much inhibition, many roadblocks as we can put up there, but because we are seeing the smoking go way down, and it's obviously improving the disease rates, and I think that's a big thing. But nonetheless, the intent of government is not to cut down the smoking. The intent of government is to collect more money, and so they're going to do it on the backs of anybody they can collect the taxes from. And what we have seen is that they learn how much through surveys and other things they do. How much can we raise the cigarette price and still they'll buy them? You see, they know that if you go a little bit further, the volume of sales will go down. But if you go up just so much. Now, let me try and point this out. If you watch through history, as me growing up here, I'm 61 years old, I've seen shortages of bananas and shortages of coffee and obviously the shortages of oil or gasoline. And, of course, before the days of the Internet, we could look at weather maps. They phonied up these shortages of coffee beans and of bananas. Now, those industries were trying to raise their prices. They would phony up that there was some giant storm that wiped out all these things. Every once in a while, there was some sort of a storm, but it didn't wipe out all the crops. And after all, these crops were being grown not only in Central America, but in Africa, Indonesia, there's coffee all around the world. So the point is that they phonied this up. Now, they can't do it so easily anymore because everybody's watching these satellite maps on the Internet. They can't phony those things. So we haven't seen those shortages. But what they did, which is always the tip-off, is that the coffee price then went up and kept going up, and they watched the consumption rates. And then when the consumption rate started to go down, then they lowered the coffee price just one notch below, and they knew they had reached the top price they can ask of Americans before they turned to alternatives. And that's exactly what they did in the oil thing here. While they're faking out that there's a shortage of oil, we've got terrorism, we've got this and that, and all of a sudden prices rise on one day because a bomb went off, when all the oil in process shouldn't have gone up in price. It was already, you know, gone through the refineries and everything. But no, we're going to raise it today because it was a bomb. Well, it's an incentive for oil companies maybe to continue bombs going off, you know, in some preferential way. But what we see here, and the thing that tips it off is that they have data that we can't see. And what they did is they kept raising the gasoline price here, and as long as consumption didn't go down, as soon as they saw it start to ease down, then they set the price right there and knew that that was the top price Americans would pay. We're being gamed, and we don't have the data. Now, I'll tell you who does, the news media. And the news media is bought off because they're the fourth estate. We have three branches of government, but this is considered the fourth branch that would be able to tell us and monitor and watch government. And, of course, we see that they're not doing that. They're not telling us because we don't have the data and the tools. And you need to be watchful because you can see these consumption rates and the prices, and then you'll see that it's all gamed. It has nothing to do with supply and demand. They're rigging the supply and demand. Doesn't anybody realize that OPEC, don't we recall, OPEC was started as an oil cartel because the price of oil was so low that they had to gather together to prop up the prices so one guy wouldn't bring it way down. So one guy opted out here recently. It's the guy down here in South America, Chavez. And, of course, what do we consider him? Why, of course, we need to rub him out. Because he's not cooperating with the oil cartel. So we demonize him. We do everything else, and Americans haven't got a clue. they think he's a bad guy, and yet they're complaining about the oil prices. What a disconnect. We just can't see how we're being roosted everywhere. And as soon as our president says, oh, that guy's a communist, something, this and that, we really ought to rub him out. And he offered to sell us gasoline at less price to show us that the oil cartel is a fraud. And of course, none of us believe it. So
I think it reminds me of the day that Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. And immediately the price of gasoline, I mean, I'm talking about within hours of the hurricane hitting New Orleans, Katrina hitting New Orleans, the price of gasoline was up here. Now, in California, up considerably. And, of course, you wonder, how could that possibly be? I mean, what happened yesterday is not going to influence the price of gasoline here. There's not going to be any more shortage because, after all, it'd be a week or two. All this is gasoline has already been refined. It's here. It's in storage. It's ready to be sold. Why is the price going up? And eventually, of course, when they got Lee Raymond before the United States Senate, and asked him, you know, if they were manipulating the price, he said, well, what we were doing, we were really helping the people, because by raising the price, it meant that people were going to use less of that, and then there wouldn't be any shortages. That's why we raised the price immediately, because we wanted to help the people.
Well,
and the senator said, oh, thank you, Mr. Raymond. Of course, he got $400 million bonus, golden parachute, when he left Exxon.
I want the libertarians to explain to me, and I'm not angry with them, but please tell me how we got a deregulation or whatever it is of the power industry. So SoCal Edison here sold off all its power plants. They had the privatization, and now I'm paying an electric bill that's almost equal to my mortgage. We're driving people out of their homes. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and the public doesn't have an outrage, and they're charging us these transfer fees because we had to bring stuff in from out of state, or I mean, we're just being gouged all over the place.
That was one of the greatest scams of all time. In fact, I still have my four-tape set, my talk on the electricity scam. We have some newsletters on that, and we have a syllabus on that. And the whole idea of deregulation of electricity was to give an excuse to raise the price. Now, they couldn't tell the American people that. What they had to tell the American people is, look, if we could just bring competition to the electric business here. Here in California, the price of electricity is higher than it is in the surrounding states. They didn't mention that it was because, of course, of all the government regulations, the price of electricity was higher. But they sold it to the American people and the people of California. If we deregulate electricity, we'll have competition and we'll bring prices down, knowing full well what had happened in England and Brazil and every other place that had done this, and the price had skyrocketed. That's just what happened here. PG&E made I don't know how many billion dollars by selling off all their electricity plants, you know, and then of course they gave this massive rebate to all their shareholders, and of course you and I are paying for it and have been paying for it ever since then.
Well, they're going to raise the electric rates here in Southern California 4 to 53%. The people that make more money, the few, are then going to pay the majority of that 53%, as the people make less money get the smaller part. So you haven't got enough people in the upper incomes that can complain, or if they do, so what? And so you're going to have the news media kind of hide the whole thing, and you're going to drive people out of the state because it's the people who make money that pay most of the taxes. I was interested in the survey recently here where about 60% of Americans said that more effort should be made to equalize wealth, that there should be greater distribution. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tax system that's so onerous already that the top 30% of the tax, the wage earners, are paying 70% of the taxes. Most of the people in the bottom half, certainly in the bottom quarter, are paying token taxes, if anything at all. Generally, they pay nothing. Now, how do you go further than this? You recall the Democrats took over the legislature in California and began to saying tax the rich. And we drove a whole lot of millionaires out of the state. They were the very people that they had the burden on their back to pay a lot of taxes, and they just moved out of here. And I think we had 39,000 millionaires, and I think that we got down to 27,000, something like this. So we just drove them away.
And, you know, of course, the other thing is that what they do is they have a home over in Nevada, and they live there half the year, and then they come back here the other half the year. But they are citizens in Nevada where they don't pay any tax, and that's how they get around it. They're rich, always figure a way out of paying their taxes. It's just simply those that are not rich enough to have all the schemes that end up, of course, paying so much taxes, and then, of course, they lose the incentive to work. And then eventually the whole economy begins to go into contraction, and the bureaucrats scratch their head and say, gee, look how this is happening. Well, the only solution is to raise the taxes even higher because we need more money.
Well, of course, the public, all of this is done without someone to interpret for them. They're waiting for a script from the news media, that television box that tells us how to think. And unless there's outrage expressed there, the public just accepts it all without question and just watches and thinks that that's what's really true.
And, you know, it's so interesting. If you study the history of taxation, you go back to the scriptures, and Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, was a tax collector. And, of course, Jesus went to Matthew's house for dinner, and everybody said, why would you go there? He's a tax collector. Because everybody in those days, 2,000 years ago, hated the tax collectors. Nothing has changed since then. Certainly, we went through a tour one time in the south of the great mansions along the Mississippi. And they pointed out, if you notice, that these great mansions, why there are very, very few staircases inside the house. Because if you have a staircase inside the house, why, they have additional taxes on it. So they put their taxes up on the porches, but not inside the house. None of the rooms had closets in them. Why? Because if there was a closet, you got an additional tax, so they simply would have various types of cupboards to put their clothes in, but there weren't any closets. So the people designed their whole lives around not paying taxes. This was the time before the Civil War. Nothing has changed. I mean, the government always wants more money, and people are always plotting how to keep their money away from the tax collectors. But, of course, what happens, the real way to get ahead is to get into government and get all those goodies and all the benefits. And one of the highest class paid people in America today are the government bureaucrats. They not only get a great pay, you can't lose their jobs, they get health benefits, they get wonderful pension systems, and what they're doing, of course, is paying the bureaucrats well to enslave the people to pay the taxes so that they can pay the bureaucrats.
Well, George Bush in his first term took action, lowered the taxes, got credit for this, said our taxes are too high. His first tax decrease was a cut of $400 billion. Within 3 weeks, the oil companies had raised their prices on gasoline, and the news report said it would cost the American consumers $400 billion. What George Bush did was just give the money back to the consumers so they have enough money to pay the oil companies for their gasoline. It wasn't a tax cut. It was just a handoff to the oil companies. And the public, not one reporter, called this to anybody's attention. So, you know, you may have your favorite candidate, but they may be taking credit for this and that. You may be hip, hip, hooray. I'm amazed at the reality that's thrust at us. We have a president that's taken us to a phony war, and we have a president that's been involved in abuse of prisoners and, you know, whatever all the rights are that our soldiers have at war and all these kind of things, and they're all gone. All these protections and things, and yet, nope, he's still our candidate, and we just tend to discard what we hear.
And, Chris, what really bothers me more than anything, Bill, is the fact that the religious leaders of this country have refused to address the issue of torture and suspension of the Geneva Convention, the new legislation that suspends the right of habeas corpus for supposedly non-citizens, but once you've been put in prison. And the courts have been limited their ability to have anything to do with protecting people in prison. How are we ever going to prove that you're a citizen of the United States if the courts cannot have anything to do with that legislation and with people held under that legislation? And then the new John Warner Defense Authorization Act, which suspends the Posse Comitatus Act, which has been in force for almost 170 years or more, left over from the brutality inflicted upon the Southerners by the Northern troops stationed in the South after the Civil War, and they passed special legislation so that American troops could not be used against American citizens, and George Bush has suspended that in the name of fighting terrorism and capturing Osama bin Laden and protecting us from that wicked man who's hiding in a cave over there in Pakistan, threatening the freedom of the American people. And how are we going to fight him?
The scriptures say the Christians will be deceived in the end days. It seems like that's so true.
And it also says there's going to be a great falling away from the faith in the end days before the man of sin is exposed.
Well, they tell us the kids are dropping out of the churches. We won't have a next generation of Christian kids. So.
Yeah. And incidentally, if you want to get Bill Sardi's website, it's askbillsardi.com or knowledgeofhealth.com. AskBillSardi.com, KnowledgeOfHealth.com. Go there. Tremendous information that will help you preserve your health. We'll be back here in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bill Sardi. Bill, you've really got me this evening. I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting you were going to tell us about the collapse of the healthcare system.
Well, I've got plenty to say. I'm a broken record on all that. I think your audience does like hearing from you. I don't think we get to squeeze the banana enough to get the peel off all the time to really hear you talk about some of these things. And I know some people really need to hear you in an extemporaneous way expand on things, because I think that people at first time wonder where you're coming from, what is the background of this. I remember one of the first times I turned on the radio with you and you were talking about Madame Blavatsky, and I went, who? And I thought you were some kind of a kook. You know, I couldn't figure it all out. But I sooner or later learned out who Madame Blavatsky was and how she played a role working for the devil and who knows. So, you know, all of this historical stuff that, of course, we're not in the know about, and I appreciate the fact that you're really mostly a historian to tell us the legacy of all of this. And of course, the big thing you brought out is that there are unseen spiritual forces. And this sounds a little like Halloween, you know, when I'm listening to your radio show. Where are all these little spooks that are supposed to come out of these boxes and closets you're talking about? But if you really get into the books and read about this, it's not you that brought them out. You're calling attention to the fact that we've got skull and bone societies and all kinds of people who believe in this stuff, and they're running our government.
In fact, the other day, one of my supporters had said, well, gee, you know, in this tape you made 5 years ago, you talked about how the Bohemian Groves claims that they worship the owl in volume four of their publication. Well, I'd forgotten about Volume 4 of the Skull and Bones publication, which we do have, and I went out there, and sure enough, there it was, and we sent him a copy of it, where the Bohemians talk about how, of course, they worship the owl. They worship the owl. But what is the owl? The owl is Moloch. They have a 40-foot owl up there at the Bohemian Grove, where they hold a feigned human sacrifice every year. To me, what they're doing is sacrificing Christ every year. That gives them then the freedom to do what they want to do. Well, Bill, it's always a pleasure having you here with us, and we do hope that we'll have a chance to have you on here again sometime real soon. Parting thought before we let you go?
Support Radio Liberty, and I thank God you're there.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, that was a surprise. I expected Bill was going to carry the program, which he really does. He can talk for a full hour. He's one of the most fascinating people I know and so well informed and has helped so many people. Go to his website, Knowledge of Health, or AskBillSardi.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day by radio, 9 hours every day by satellite, 4 hours every day on shortwave, and certainly 5 hours a day on the Internet. But it's an expensive proposition, and it really is. And quite frankly, we need your help. So we ask you, if you any way you possibly can, to lend us a hand here at Radio Liberty, and if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter or even get a free copy of our newsletter, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We have the material. If you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, you can pull down our August and September 2006 newsletters, which are very informative, and of course we have all the documentation for everything we talk about. You want to know about the Council on Foreign Relations? Go to their website under History CFR and see what they say about themselves. How belonging to their organization is almost like a rite of passage. How half of the key people in key positions in the government come from their organization. They're very proud. They control both political parties. They have a different agenda. They don't believe in America. They believe in an internationalist goal, a new world order, and a new world religion. They're not going to tell you about the religious aspects of it. All they do, of course, in recent articles is talking about recent issues of Foreign Affairs magazine, talk about how they're going to use religion to transform America, but they're only using religion. Rick Warren, America's pastor, picked by Time magazine, that a great paragon of American virtue, Time magazine, picked Rick Warren to be America's pastor, and he's been called back to talk to the Council on Foreign Relations and UNESCO and train 400,000 ministers in a new gospel, an entirely new gospel that has very little to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle being played on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. You need to help us. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, get multiple copies and pass them out. You can help us by helping us republish Dr. Tennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed. You can get a full case of those books for $149.95 pre-publication. And then, of course, you can pass those books out if you'd like to help us with this project. To get Dr. Cuddy's books out, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. So tell her you'd like a pre-publication case of Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book. We hope that if you want to get the information on the North American community, the demise of national sovereignty, it's a four-tape set. Our four-tape set on immigration. Our four-tape set on the truth about the Holocaust. It's a great four-tape set. It'll bring tears to your eyes, and it'll give you information and understanding of what's really going on in Israel today by a Jewish patriot who understands the Sabbatean movement. I wonder if you've ever heard of the Sabbateans or understand the implications of this satanic group within organized Judaism. You need to get a new four-tape set on the changing church, on globalism, the secret threat, on the impending police state. You need to get our four-tape set on concentration camps, our four-tape set on the either concentration camps or our concentration camps special, and the videos that come with that, excellent sets of videos, information you're not going to get elsewhere. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens and put them in detention camps. Those are the words of Henry Gonzalez. If you order the concentration camp special, you'll actually not only hear those words from Henry Gonzalez, you'll actually see them saying them as he's trying to warn the American people what lies ahead today. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, and then please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be with you once again, Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you.